welcome everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online, as we are in week four of a four-week message series titled Stages. Stages. In this series, we've been trying to more clearly define the stages of what it means to follow Jesus. So many people, you know, hear the call to follow Jesus. We hear the call, but we've wanted to more clearly define what that means or what that looks like. So we're talking about stages. And we recognize that, you know, in all of life, there are stages of growth. So in life, we're on this journey. It begins at birth and it continues throughout our life. So the picture there on the left is me and my mother when I was a newborn. And look at that. She has this big smile on her face. I was the first of seven children. And if you see my mother today, she is still smiling. And all of my siblings, we all rejoice in that. Hallelujah. It's a miracle. A miracle. And then, of course, the picture on the right is Kathy and I and our first daughter, Jenny, after we've been about 5 years in our marriage. And of course, since then, we have been through a whole lot of life stages together. And now Jenny is married and she's expecting our first grandchild. And we are all smiling about that as well. Yeah. She's due in August, I think it is. So we're on this journey together, and it's an exciting time. So all of us are on this journey, you know, and there are many stages of life, many stages of growth that we experience along the way. And we've said that God has designed us for spiritual growth as well. Spiritual growth as well. So yeah, we have this capacity, don't we, to grow physically, to grow socially, to grow emotionally. But yes, God has designed us for spiritual growth as well. And the heart of the gospel story is this, that Jesus Christ came into the world that he might set us free from this, from the power of this sin nature that we are born with. And it's the story is that through faith in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, God declares us forgiven. And then he sends his Holy Spirit to come down and to come into our hearts and our lives to transform us and help us to have victory over the power of sin. And that, of course, opens up a whole new dimension of life and newness for everyone who believes. Amen? That simple story is a great story, and all the world needs to hear it. And so here at Christ Church, we are answering God's call to reach out to all people with the good news of the gospel. Our mission is, we say it together, making disciples of Jesus Christ for the what? Transformation of the world, for the transformation of the world. Jesus is the one who can change us, who can transform us, who can redeem us, who can restore us. Think about the great need for Jesus changing, transforming, life-giving power in the world today. We are making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, and the world is in great need. Amen? We're trying also to lift up a clear discipleship pathway, a clear understanding of how disciples are made too. So what do? We use the three words, know, love, and serve. How are disciples made? Well, we say, first of all, we come to know God, don't we? We come to know the story. We hear the story. It begins to speak to us, and we place faith in Christ. And then because we do that, all of a sudden, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, the scripture says. And this love begins to fill us, and it begins to take root in our hearts and our lives. And because of that, as we continue to grow in love, we look around and we say, man, I want to serve. I want to respond. You're doing this thing in me, Lord. I want to serve others. I want to serve you. I want to serve others. So we talk about know, love, serve. So know is kind of, you know, it's kind of what happens in our head, and love is what happens in our heart. You know, God does this new thing in our heart, and then serve is what happens with our hands and our feet and our mouths, and we want to serve God. We want to serve Him. We want to get into it. Know, love, serve. And we've learned from the Reveal Spiritual Life Survey as well that there are four spiritual growth stages that people go through. Four stages that we all go through. Thus far, we've talked about, first of all, those who are exploring. Those who are exploring. Those of you who are exploring, you know, you have not crossed the line of faith yet, but you are here and you're checking things out. So you're interested, you know, you're interested in Christ, you're intrigued by Jesus, you have questions, you are seeking answers, and what do we say? We say, welcome. Welcome. We are so glad that you are here. Another stage is those of you who are growing, and you have crossed the line of faith. You have put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you are eager to grow. You're willing to serve as well. And you're getting comfortable with spiritual practices, things like prayer and Bible study and reflection. But you're a little bit hesitant to share your faith. You're hesitant about that. Well, what would we say? We are glad that you are here. We would not be the church that we are without your enthusiasm, without your enthusiasm. And then there are those of you who are closer to Christ. Your relationship with Jesus is part of your everyday life. So you are listening and you are talking to God all the time. 80% of you in this stage, you read the Bible, you reflect, you pray for guidance, you confess your sins, you do all of these things at least several times a week. Here's another thing about you who are closer. You go public, remember? You go public with your faith. It's become so important to you that you say, man, I have got to share this faith with other people. And you tend to do that at least three times through the course of a year. At least three times you have found a way to share your faith with somebody else. You go public. What do we say about you? We are glad that you are here. We would not be the church that we are today without your example and without your boldness in sharing your faith. So today I want to talk about the last group on this spiritual growth continuum, those of you who are centered in Christ. Centered in Christ. What do we know about you besides the fact that you make up 25% of the average congregation? Well, this is a few things we know. First of all, your defining characteristic is you are surrendered to Christ. Surrendered. You have yielded control of your life to Jesus. You've come to the place in your relationship with Christ where you've said, Lord, I am no longer trying to control things myself. I surrender control to you. You are in control. You are in charge. You are the Lord, the Master. Remember Matthew and Zacchaeus in the scripture. Who remembers Matthew and Zacchaeus? Both of them were tax collectors. And what do we know about tax collectors? They were rich. They were rich. They were some of the most wealthiest people in the community, and yet nobody liked them because they were collecting taxes for the Romans. Well, they heard about Jesus. In fact, they listened to what he had to say, and they heard his call to follow him. And both of them did in their own way. So what did Matthew do? Remember Matthew? He was one who left everything, said, I'm leaving tax collecting, I'm leaving the lucre, I'm leaving all of that, and I'm going to follow Jesus. And he did. And it turned out to be, you know, this amazing thing that happened in his life. How about Zacchaeus? What about Zacchaeus? What did he do? The scripture says he met Jesus. Jesus said, I got to come to your house today, Zacchaeus. They threw a party, and at the end of that time, Zacchaeus says, tell you what, Jesus has come. I am so touched by who he is and what he's doing. I'm giving half of all that I've got to the poor. Doing that right now. Half of all that I've got to the poor, and I'm paying back fourfold everybody that I can think of that I have defrauded in some way. Man, they are good examples, Matthew and Zacchaeus, of people who surrendered to Christ. Do you remember the rich young ruler? The rich young ruler. Now, he too was rich. He too was intrigued by Jesus' message of eternal life. He wanted to know how he could obtain it. In fact, he said, hey, Lord, I've kept the commandments. I mean, I'm doing all these things. But to go and to sell all that he had and give to the poor was too much for him at that time. He wasn't willing to go that far. And the scripture says, he went away sad. He went away sad. Well, you who are centered in Christ are surrendered to Christ. You have given him control. What else do we know about you? Well, you have let go of secular values and worldly aspirations. You've said, I'm going to let go of those things and I'm going to yield control of my life to Christ and what he wants. So you're not as concerned about personal happiness and security and success. Instead, you're more interested in Jesus' values of selfless love and of dedication to others. So as I was thinking about, you know, who's an example of somebody like that? I suppose the most compelling example of someone like that in my lifetime has been Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Hello? Mother Teresa and her Sisters of Charity, the order that she started, they take vows of chastity, poverty, and obedience. That's what we're about. Chastity, poverty, and obedience. And we are going to set out to minister wholeheartedly to the poorest of the poor. Now that's somebody who says, I'm letting go of secular pursuits and worldly values, and I'm gonna do this over here. We're going to minister wholeheartedly to the poorest of the poor. And her example has inspired countless millions. Well, we see this struggle between Christ and worldly values. It kind of is a factor in each one of the four stages. So let's talk about that. For those of you, you know, who are exploring, for you, there is little concern at this point about this struggle between Christ and worldly values, because you are not sure yet about even the need to question mainstream values. You're not even sure if that's needed. You're still exploring what following Jesus is all about. That's really what you're trying to figure out. So for those of you in the growing stage, you have a little bit different response. You have a dual life. A dual life. So you worship and honor Christ, but you tend to segregate things a little bit too. So you kind of have your Christian life here, and then you've got your other life as well. And the two things, you know, they don't often meet or affect each other. So I get it, you know, when people are in this stage, you are excited about your growing relationship with Jesus, but, you know, you also have these past pursuits and you're involved with too, and you're trying to, you know, just figure it all out. How do I follow Jesus? And I got this past and these things that I've done, and I can remember the where I was at with all of that, and that was an interesting place, and you probably do too. It's described as a dual life. You remember the dual life, or maybe you'd say, you know, that's kind of the struggle I really relate to now. Then there are those who are closer to Christ, closer. So though your relationship with Christ is strong and his values have become most important in your life, you still struggle with worldly temptations that influence your behavior. And so like Paul in Romans 7:15, you say, what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I end up doing. There's this struggle. You're walking closer to Jesus. You're letting His presence help guide your daily life, but you still struggle. So speaking of struggle, the story is told of a struggle that little Johnny had one day. So little Johnny, he burst through the front door of his house with a smile on his face and surprised his mother asked, well, why are you home from school so early, Johnny? And Johnny said, they let me go early because I was the only one who could answer a tough question. And his mother said, oh, really? What was the question? Johnny said, the question was, who threw this eraser at the teacher? So we all have our struggles with temptation. And Johnny had his, we have ours. For you centered in Christ, you know the struggle. You know you're bent to sin, your battle with temptation. But here's the thing. You humbly admit dependence upon Christ. No denial, no shifting blame. In effect, you're able to say, my name is so-and-so, and I know that apart from Christ, the lure of this world is irresistible. Left to myself, I am going to blow it. I know it. I'm going to blow it. Therefore, I need Christ. And I know that I need His power at the center of my life daily to help me win the battle. And so you have come to the place of surrender and dependence. So in the men's journey study, we talk about the place of personal abandonment and absolute trust. It's another way of saying, I am at that place of surrender and dependence. One of the best things that I like about Celebrate Recovery, for me, is it gives me the opportunity to admit that I am not in control. Now, I used to feel like, man, I am in control. Or, you know, I have to be in control, and so if I don't think I am, I got to get control. And I spent a lot of energy and a lot of time and a lot of frustration going down that road. And finally, I was able to realize, really through Celebrate Recovery, there are so many things in my life that I cannot control. I can't control it. And so, to admit that, and therefore to also be able to say, I need God's Spirit. I need God's leading. I need God's power. That has really been liberating. So what do? I do the things that I know that I can do, but then I say, these other things of which I can't control, I just have to put those in God's hands. So what do? We seek, we pray, we do what He has given us to do, and then we trust the rest to Him. And what I've discovered is living that way is so much better than trying to think, I've got to be in control of everything myself. In our text for today, the Apostle Paul, he said it this way in Galatians 20:20. He says, I have been what? Crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. In other words, my old self has died. But, he says, Christ lives in me. He's the one now that has come to live within me. He's the one who's taken control. And the life that I live in the body, I live by what? Faith in who? The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. In other words, my life in Jesus has come to mean everything to me. The centered believer is yielded, surrendered, lined up We're lined up with God and what God is wanting. Not that we have arrived, that you have arrived or are in no longer need of growth. And not that you're perfect either. But this centered, this surrendered life defines you and frees you to live more fully for God. And the choice to surrender to Jesus all that you hold dear is not just a one-time event either. It is an ongoing process. It is a lifestyle of daily surrender. And so that's what makes it so challenging. And that's why you need encouragement. And you and I need support of others in the body of Christ who, like you, are striving to be centered in Christ. Again, 25% of the average congregation, 1 in 4. What else do we know about you? You are head over heels in love with God. Almost 80% of you in this stage very strongly agree that you love God more than anything, roughly double than the closer to Christ segment. You have a deep abiding love for God that guides your daily life. You genuinely are submitted to the guiding authority of the Scripture. Christ is your life, your source for spiritual nourishment. Your central purpose is to be a living example of Jesus' values and commands. You truly seek to walk in His steps. What else do we know about you? You are centered in Christ. You are His greatest workforce. You represent the most active hands and feet for Jesus on the planet. You do everything. You serve the church. You care for the poor. You tithe your income. You share your faith in greater proportion than any other segment. What else? You strongly are devoted to daily spiritual practices. 75% of you are involved in daily prayer for guidance. 55% of you pray daily to confess sins. 44% of you daily reflect on Scripture. 32% of you set aside a daily time of solitude. Not perfect, still room to grow, but certainly stronger in daily spiritual practices than any other stage. An example of people centered in their faith in the Bible that I thought of is Simeon and Anna. Remember them in Luke chapter 2? Remember both of them, the Scripture said, were devoted. They were longing for the coming of God's Messiah, of God's anointed one. And they both had heard the Spirit whisper to them that you one day will see Him. And so that day did come. And both of them were at the temple and they heard the whisper of God's Spirit, "Today is the day you will see Him." And they found Mary and Joseph presenting Jesus to God in the temple. What else do we know? You centered in Christ are often under-challenged by the church. What? Often under-challenged. What do we mean by that? Well, it's obvious that you have passion and zeal for Christ and His kingdom rather than expecting Jesus to be here simply, you know, to help you with your life. You say, you know, I've got that. Now I need to see how I can be going and helping other people with their life. And man, I'm passionate about it. You respond to His call to sacrifice. You lay down your life to serve Him and His mission in the world. You say, man, I truly do exist for Him. Know, love, serve with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength. You are best equipped to encourage the rest of us on our spiritual journey and perhaps to lead us in new efforts. But we don't always give you the opportunities. Or we don't always support your efforts. Or perhaps, you know, too many times we're too focused on helping the other 75% that we leave you under-challenged. And I would say, that's a shame. And this study has helped remind me that, I don't want that to happen. And I want to prevent it from happening. In fact, if anybody would say, you know, I'm feeling a little under-challenged, underutilized, come talk to me and let's see if we can find a way to address that. So what can we do to help encourage one another in spiritual growth, particularly those of you who are centered in Christ? These few things. One, we can value you to be committed and be committed to your ongoing spiritual development. As with each of these stages, we wouldn't be the church that we are if you weren't here. We love you. We need you. We are glad you're here. And as you continue to grow spiritually and have opportunities to exercise your gifts, our whole church, even the whole community, is impacted. What else can we do? We can challenge you to be in the process of daily dependence and daily resurrender. It is a daily discipline to stay centered and continue to handle over the control of your life to Christ. You need encouragement. You need support. You need accountability. We can recognize and challenge to continue to offer you opportunities, prayer groups, support groups, study groups, accountability groups. We have them, but we could certainly have more. What else? We can model this dependence. We can model this surrender ourselves. So as a spiritual leader, I recognize that I need to model this daily dependence and surrender myself. I used to think, as I said, that I could be in control of so many things in my life, but I've realized that there are so many things today that I don't control. And therefore, the best thing that I can do is surrender those things to Jesus and let Him carry them. So in 1 Peter 5:7, the Apostle Peter says, cast all your cares on Him, on Christ, for He cares for you. But I have to admit that there are many times when leaders around me have to remind me of that. Hey, Bob, you need to cast your cares on Him. He cares for you. How many times do all of us, we're tempted to think that, you know, I'm in control. It's up to me. And we're carrying a burden that's more than He intends us to bear. Cast all your cares upon Him. He cares for you. I appreciate the many opportunities that, you know, leadership and being in the life of the church provides for you and me to model just that. What's another thing? We can challenge you to follow God's promptings. You who are centered in Christ, who are abiding in Him, you are investing time and energy to talk with God daily, to hear His voice. So as you hear God's whispers, His still small voice speaking to you, I would say this: follow those promptings. God has brought you to this place in your life for His purposes. Continue to be open to what that might be. Continue to pray these simple surrendered prayers. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Whom can I love? Whom can I serve? He might call you to do something new in your family or in your extended family. Or He might call you to do something new in the community or maybe new in our congregation. You are at a unique place at this stage of your life to be used of God. So stay centered, stay accountable, and stay open. Stay open to what God might want to do. We give thanks for persons living centered in Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's pray about it. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Master, Holy Lord, we thank You for the journey that You have called us to. This journey from spiritual infancy, then through spiritual adolescence, and then spiritual young adulthood, and finally to spiritual maturity. And what an adventure! And what great possibilities! And yet what challenges along the way! but you have not left us helpless. You've sent your Son, and you've laid out a pathway, and you've also sent your Holy Spirit, and you've provided us the Scriptures to lead and to guide us. And Lord, we have each other in the body of Christ. We need one another. We need all of us who are exploring. We need those of us who are growing. We need those who are closer. We need all of those who are centered. We wouldn't be the persons we are. We wouldn't be the congregation that we are becoming without the unique contribution that each one brings. So, Lord, continue to grow us up into maturity. Grow us up so that Christ lives fully in us, and the lives that we live by faith in Him, the one who loves us, the one who gave Himself for us, our lives reflect His glory and truly are part of transforming the world. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said, Amen.